Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio program. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is How to Walk in His Peace All the Time. You know, it occurred to me as we were watching all the exchange between Iran and Israel that, you know, we all know that if the U.S. gets involved in that, then we're all at risk too. And if you think about that much, which I did at first, it takes away your peace, doesn't it? And if you think about it long enough and all the possibilities, you can get into fear and worry, which we don't want to do. And that's the reason I decided to do this podcast. I apologize I did not have a podcast last week. I don't think I've told y'all this, but in addition to the other things that are going on, my last surviving sibling is terminally ill. And that weighs on my mind quite a bit. I am not where she is, and I miss her a lot already, but she has Alzheimer's. And so there's really a lot going on in my life right now that I'm trying to deal with this all at one time, so y'all bear with me, okay? And thank you to all of you who pray for me. I appreciate that more than you can possibly know. You know, we have a tendency, I think, as humans, if we don't have something that the Bible seems to say that we should have, a lot of people blame God. They're like, well, I should have that. Why don't I have that? So-and-so has it, but I don't have it. But, you know, God does not hold out on us. He does not withhold things that are promised from us. Anytime we don't have something that the Bible says we should have, the problem lies with us, not with Him. Like the peace that passes understanding. The peace that passes understanding is when you have such complete peace from Jesus that you're even at peace when it makes no sense whatsoever you should have any peace. Like bombs exploding all around, you're like, no, I'm cool. I have peace. That kind of peace. And that's what He promises us. He left that for us. That is the kind of peace He wants us to have. Even as we watch the world falling apart around us, which it clearly is. My cousin and I were just talking about that. And this is not the world we grew up in, y'all. We're the same age. This is not the world we grew up in at all. We don't even recognize this. And I know a lot of you feel the same way because we've talked about it in emails and stuff. A lot of people in the world today seek peace but don't know where to find it. The peace that passes understanding is a great witnessing tool for Christians. Just by evidencing your peace, just by being at peace and being joyful, no matter what your circumstances are, others become very intrigued that are not walking with Him, and you can use that to lead people to Christ. Did you know that? Most of them have tried worldly ways of finding peace. When you don't know Jesus, you just try whatever's in the world because nothing else is available to you, right? A lot of people try drugs to find peace. And some drugs will give you temporary calm. They don't give you peace. They just give you a temporary calm, like Xanax and things like that. They will try alcohol. Same thing. Or sex. Or seeking happiness through adventure or fitness or, you know, perfecting their image or finding the right mate. That's what people in the world think is going to bring them peace. But the peace that goes everywhere you go, the peace that you have when it don't make any sense for you to have it, that can only be found one place, and that is in knowing Jesus and walking with Him. The Bible says we are to follow peace. Peace is the umpire. The Bible says peace is the umpire. And that means whenever you're faced with two choices, whichever one you feel peace about is the way you're supposed to go. If I never taught y'all that, y'all remember that. Somebody, the father of the young girl who led me to Christ taught me that the first few days that I was saved, and I never forgot it. And it has helped me so many times to keep from making a wrong decision. I still make some wrong decisions, but that has really helped me a lot. Everybody makes some wrong decisions, y'all. So peace is the umpire, and we're supposed to follow after peace. We need to pursue peace and make sure that we have it. It's really important. So let's talk about some things that make us lose our peace. Worry makes us lose our peace. Strife, fighting with people and arguing and all that, or having that going on around you in your household. Also, fear. I think these are three of the biggest things that cause us to not have any peace. So knowing that war is coming to America, and we know this because God has told us multiple times, a lot of people worry about being taken captive, and that is a totally understandable concern. I understand that. But haven't most of us already survived captivity of other kinds? Have you ever been captive in a bad marriage? Captive in a bad job when the economy was down, you couldn't afford to quit or switch jobs? Captive to a disease or a physical condition? Captive to a bad neighborhood that was a good neighborhood when you bought your house? Yeah, those are all forms of captivity. We who know Jesus are still free on the inside of ourselves, in our spirits, even if our bodies are taken captive. And He wants us to remember that. He can still set us free if we are willing to witness for Him. And I'm going to tell you a story about that. There's a wonderful true story of a courageous woman who did become a prisoner in a war situation, endured terrible hardships and harshness, and made the best of every day anyway. Her name is Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom and her family were part of, it was called the Dutch Resistance, I believe. They hid Jews in their house to save them. And one day, in their kindness, they accidentally took in an informer by the name of Jan Vogel, who, it turned out, had aided the Gestapo from the first day of the occupation of Holland. When he came to Corrie's door, he claimed that his wife had been arrested because they had been hiding Jews. That's what he said. And he asked her for money so he could try to bribe the police to try to get her set free. So, of course, Corrie gave him some money. She told him to come back in 30 minutes. She said, come back in half an hour. Well, instead of him coming back, the next thing she knows, the house was raided and they were all arrested. Except, I think there were four Jewish persons that were hidden in secret compartments that were very small, and they were not found. And somebody else that knew what happened went over and set them free a day or so later. So Corrie, her sister Betsy, her father, and some other people in her family had been imprisoned in one of the war camps. And I forget the name of the one that they were taken to. Later on, though, her father died 10 days later because he had tuberculosis. And Betsy, they beat on her and treated her horrible, and she died later on. I cannot imagine watching your family being treated like that, and then they die. So she was the last one standing. She was the only one left. But they had been at Ravensbrück since February 28, 1944. And she had smuggled a tiny New Testament into the prison and was teaching the other women at night in their flea-infested barracks. She said the fleas were actually a blessing because the guards didn't come in there and rape them at night because the fleas were so bad. She was trying to make the best of the worst kind of situation. And she and Betsy had comforted themselves that maybe their imprisonment was God's will. And they decided that God's will would be their hiding place. One day, long after her father had died and after Betsy had died, she heard her name over the loudspeaker. The story on ChristianHistoryInstitute.com said she almost forgot to react. She was so accustomed to being called 66730. An officer handed Corrie a certificate of discharge. But she was not actually free to go yet. You had to be healthy to be released, and Corrie was in a hospital due to swelling in her legs. The hospital was described as being like a scene from Dante's Inferno. She wanted to prop her feet up to reduce the swelling so she could leave, but instead she hobbled around trying to help other people who could not even walk. On December 30th, 1944, the gates finally opened and Corrie was let out to board the train to freedom. There, she discovered her ration card had either been lost or stolen, so she traveled several days with no food whatsoever. When she finally arrived in the Netherlands, she was dizzy from hunger and could barely stand up. Cannot imagine. As soon as she was slightly recovered, she began witnessing to others. One of the things she taught was, you can never learn Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have. She also said, there is no pit so deep, God's love is not deeper still. She had truly learned those truths at Ravensbrück amongst all the cruelty and the harshness and the deprivation. 6 months after her release, it was said that Corey wrote a letter to Jan Vogel, the informer, forgiving him. When she first found out that it was him who turned them in and caused them all to be arrested and caused her family to be killed, her dad and her sister, they said she was furious. And Betsy, her sister who died, said no. She said, can you imagine how racked with guilt he is? And, you know, he's got to carry all this and all that. And she talked Corey out of being angry so that Corey would forgive. And so Corey did forgive. And so she wrote him a letter. And it was said that when, at the time she wrote that letter, that he was in prison awaiting execution. Nobody has the, you know, details on that I could find. Through the generosity of a wealthy woman, Corey was able to open a home for survivors of the camps. Later, she began traveling around the world for the Lord, spreading the gospel. I remember reading about this. Like one time, God sent her to Japan or China, and she couldn't even speak the language. Every country he sent her to, she would save up and save up and save up out of her Social Security check until she had enough money for a ticket, and then she would just fly into the country. And every single time, God had arranged for someone who she could communicate with to meet her at the airport and pick her up. I cannot make this up, y'all. I cannot make this up. This woman's life is such a miracle. It just amazes me. She traveled for over 30 years, visiting over 60 countries. She wrote several books, including Tramp for the Lord and The Hiding Place. And The Hiding Place was also made into a movie. That always makes me think of that song, You Are My Hiding Place. She was in the camp because she and her sister Betsy had sheltered Jews from the Germans. Okay. At 53, Corey wrote the first book about her experiences. It wasn't published, I don't think, until that was like in 19, I can't remember, but anyway, it was 1978. In 1978, she had the first of several major strokes. So we can sit around and worry every day about war and being taken captive and treated badly by our enemies. We can do that. Corey could have done that too. You can spend all your days worrying if you want to. But as Corrie Ten Boom used to say, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But the devil prefers you worry about things you cannot change so you have no strength or joy for today, because then you're not a danger to him. If you are sitting in your easy chair biting your nails and worrying, you are no danger to Satan whatsoever, because you're all wrapped around the axle. You can't be. And it's something that we all have to fight, y'all. We all have to. But instead of worrying about something, do what you can do about it and then let it rest. Lay the rest of it at God's feet and let him handle it. No matter how much you worry and fret, the war will still come. You and I may or may not still be here when it does. We may or may not be taken captive. It will still come. Your worry will not change that. We can waste a lot of time on things that don't help us if we want to. Like if somebody hurts you, like what happened to Corey, you can sit around and get angry about it if you want to. You can plot revenge if you know who did it. Or you can say, Lord, their sin is between you and them. Revenge is not my place. You said vengeance is yours. So I'm going to just continue doing kingdom work that you've assigned me, and I leave the rest to you, because I know you will pay them back, because he always does. Corey died on April 15th, 1983, on her 91st birthday after suffering a third major stroke. That woman lived a long life. She did so much work for the kingdom of God, I cannot wait to meet her in heaven. Can you imagine how big her mansion is? Wow. So, you know, we think about war and we ask certain questions. What is going to happen to me? What is going to happen to the people I love? Will I have the things I need to survive while this is going on? Will I become a prisoner of war? I had an uncle who was a prisoner of war in World War II. He was taken by the Japanese. And the experience was so bad, he would not even talk about it to any of us. I talked to my last surviving uncle. He could never get him to tell the story either. I don't know if he ever forgave. I hope he did. It is our human nature to ask these questions. And everyone will be asking them when it starts happening. Before the end comes, war will eventually be going on, I think, in a lot of places. I don't think just here. I think that'll probably be the Third World War and there'll be a bunch going on. But Isaiah 26:3 says what? Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Okay, instead of sitting and worrying, try saying Psalm 91. Say it over yourself. Say it over the people you love. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You got to be real close to somebody to walk in their shadow, okay? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. He is my God. In Him will I trust. And I added that He is to my God. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Let me tell you something. One time, I got some of the worst news you can possibly get. And I had just become a Christian. I didn't know anything about this psalm. I didn't know anything about anything at that point. And I remember laying in bed that night, thinking about what was going on and trying to go to sleep. And I remember feeling feathers on me and not knowing why they were there, but they were comforting. I cannot make this up, y'all. I felt those feathers. And I remember it was kind of like when you curl up under a warm, soft blanket, like it's cold in the winter and you put your blanket in the dryer, you get it warm and you get it back out and wrap it around you. It was that kind of a feeling. It was a safe and warm feeling. So I didn't know where the feathers were from. I just knew they made me feel better. Now, after I found that psalm, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was the feathers. That was the feathers. Psalm 91:4. He shall cover thee with His feathers. He puts His wing over you and shields you. Under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, because He can handle both of them, okay? Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, or for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. He protected the three Hebrews. He can protect you too. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. And that happened to people that were in war. There are stories about that in books about Psalm 91, and you should read some of them if you don't believe that psalm will protect you, because it is mighty. They don't call it the soldier's prayer for nothing. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. That's God saying, I'm going to protect you. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Start thanking God now that He's meeting your every need, now and in the time of war if you're still here. And for the people that you love, thank Him that you have abundance of all good things and no lack. Psalm 23 is another one I like to pray just for calmness. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Y'all know what it means when he prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies? He gives you everything your enemy wants, even though you didn't ask for it. I'm not kidding you. But remember the story of the three Hebrews in Daniel chapter 3. He protected them in a furnace that had been turned up 7 times higher in the fire, y'all. In the fire, inside it. They threw him in the fireplace. God got him out. There wasn't even the smell of smoke on him. The next time the devil tries to make you afraid, I want you to remember that fear and worry do not bring peace. Fear and worry are not good uses of our time and energy. Fear and worry will not stop what is coming. The war will still come. They will only keep you from being spiritually prepared to face it when it gets here. If you're still here, and you may not even be here, don't let him use up your time like that. Don't give him free rent in your head. Walking in peace comes down to one thing, just one. And I want y'all to remember this because this is the most important thing I'm going to tell you tonight. I want you to remember this. Walking in peace comes down to one thing, controlling your thoughts. That's why the Bible says that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Isaiah 26:3. When your thoughts get out of line, they start going to fearful things and scary things and worrisome things, shut them down and say, nope, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, so I'm not going to be in lack. That word want means lack. He's going to protect me. He's going to shield me under his wings, so I don't have to worry about that. Just start quoting what the Bible says, and you will be shocked how fast Satan shuts up. I want to read you a really cool little story. There was a shipwreck at night once caused by a mighty storm. A boy in the ship was taken away by the waves. He eventually came to rest on a rock. He stayed on the rock all night, shivering in the cold storm. A rescue crew found him the next morning, and they asked him, "Weren't you scared? Didn't the storm cause you to tremble with fear?" And the boy answered, "Yes, I was scared. I shook all night long. But the rock didn't. And the rock won't shake when you're clinging to it either." He's got us, y'all. He's got us. It reminds me of when I was trying to put one of my little dogs in my truck when I lived in Louisiana. And she fought me tooth and nail. And I don't know why she fights like that sometimes. And she's real strong. She's 14 pounds and she's all muscle. And I was like, "I got you. I got you. I got you." And she didn't understand what that meant, that I had her and she was safe. He's got us. He's already made a plan for you. If it comes and you're here, he's already made a plan for you. He's already planned your provision. He's already planned your safety. He's got everything figured out. We don't have to figure everything out. He's already done all that. We just need to keep our mind on him and not let the devil scare us. Staying in peace comes down to one thing, controlling your thoughts. Cast down everything that makes you afraid or makes you worry and replace it with what the Bible says. Just say, "Nope, Satan, not doing it. Not today. Not today, Satan, not tomorrow neither. So don't come back." I hope this has been a help to you. Jesus bless you. Thanks for listening. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. I hope this has inspired you to a closer walk with Christ. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., P.O. Box 854, Altus, Oklahoma. That's A-L-T-U-S, Oklahoma 73522. Or by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.